Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, and it is Tuesday night, and it is Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight is going to be a really, really interesting conversation. I'm open to the possibility of this conversation literally touching somebody's life or touching many lives of people, whether people that are listening to the show tonight or listening to the show when it goes evergreen. I think that this is going to, I just really believe that this is going to be an amazing show because I have an amazing guest tonight. And before I get into that and tell you who she is, you can actually see her if you're on Facebook. I'm just going to share a little bit about my week because that's my usual. It's Tuesday night. It's my show. I get to be with you. I get to play and have fun. And so I just wanted to share, like, it's like the busy season right now. I would call it the busy season because it's the social season, right? So I always say to my clients when they work with me, they'll become really, really shiny. And when they become shiny, they become attractive. And so they'll get invitations up the wazoo, basically. And so, you know, I never sort of think of myself as that. Like, you know, I always get invitations. I've always gotten invitations. But like now it's like, it feels like it's tripled. Right, in terms of people asking me to come here and come there, and it's like I'm now, my problem is like, who do I choose? Who do I hang out with? Do I do all of them? Do I do little tasters and then like end up at the one that I want to? But it's like I'm loving it. I think it's great, but basically what I'm saying is like, be careful what you ask for because it seriously does come true. So, but in all, I'm having a really good, I'm enjoying myself. You know, I'm thinking about the year end, what I've got to be grateful for, so much to be grateful for, so many opportunities, so much stuff, good, bad, and ugly of it. But all of it, I would say that I have grown exponentially and I'm just loving my life. So on that note, I'm going to start the show and I'm really excited to have Nicole Centeno. I always mess up people's names. It's not a show if I mess up people's names. And she is the founder and CEO of Splendid Spoon. And so if you guys haven't seen Splendid Spoon out there, even before I knew her, I had seen Splendid Spoon out there, like the soups. Right. So she's going to talk about how she did it tonight, how she created Splendid Spoon, how it came about, like how she manages her life, her children, just everything. It's just going to be great. I need another hour, but, you know, we're going to deal with what we got. So welcome to Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. How are you tonight?
Thank you so much. I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. So just tell us a tad about yourself at the moment. Like, so who are you? Where are you from? And mm-hmm. like,
what do you love about your life?
I'm Nicole. Right. I'm an entrepreneur. Uh-huh. I'm a mom.
She lives in Brooklyn.
I Woo-hoo! Live in Brooklyn. And yeah, I started Splendid Spoon 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think I'm someone who's always been like very curious about how things work and also very tenacious when I see something is not quite how I want it to be. Mm-hmm. I've always been the personality, just kind of like keep tackling it. And so being an entrepreneur, starting my own business has been really like the only thing that has fed that in right. a way that's really, really fulfilling.
And so is this your first business?
It is my first business.
Right.
Yeah. I think I've always kind of like tried to understand different ways to connect with people mm-hmm. through like creative endeavors and through different even like, you know, small business opportunities. Mm-hmm. But this is like the business.
And what did you do before you actually had the business?
I worked at Condé Nast. I worked in media.
I always call it Condé Nasty.
Yeah.
Not that they're nasty or anything. I just like Condé Nasty, you know? So what did you do for Condé Nast?
I did digital ad strategy for Wired and The New Yorker and a couple other properties. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, just tell us, how did you get into soups? Like what happened?
Well, I was working in like a cube, right? Mm-hmm. I was like a cubicle person.
Cubicle dweller.
Yeah, in the city and felt very just kind of like, I don't want to do this every day. Like I can't get on the train, make the same commute, sit in the same seat, talk to the same people, look at the same screen every day, day after day. Like
the next 30
I just couldn't.
Years.
it wasn't right for me. And so I went to culinary school at night because I've always had a real deep fascination with food. And I had studied biology when I was in college. I had studied diet therapies. I had looked at all of the like science around what it is that we eat and how it works in your body. And so I wanted to kind of get into the creative side because that was really originally what had, I think, drawn me to food was like the sensory experience.
Right. So I had somebody, I don't know if it was on the show or somebody I was talking to, and they're like heavily into food, but they had a, it's somebody I met. They have a, she was bulimic, right? So she had a bad experience around food. She was a model, bulimic, and but now food has become a way for her to express herself.
Yeah.
And she loves to, so you didn't have any of that.
Well, I actually was bulimic in college.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I always say that food for me has been just like the medium that has told me the most about myself and about my relationship with the world. And so when I was little, it was this very sort of like, it was just wonder and awe.
Right.
And then my adolescence in college was like that time of like, oh, wow, food can be powerful. Mm-hmm. And it can be powerful in a good way and it can be powerful in a bad way. And that was my experience with eating disorders was that, you know, there you could use it to really hurt yourself. And and that, I think for me, really showed just how powerful food is for people and for our culture. And
so do you
starting Splendid Spoon was like a part of, I think, a healing process for me.
So do you think that having the eating disorder really helped you to, because I think that like some disorders really are access into helping others, helping yourself by healing yourself. You know, we teach what we need to learn, right? So that you can really make a difference for people and get a better understanding.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think like I'm someone who goes deep into everything that I'm excited about. And so like I needed to, it's not like I wanted to have an eating disorder, but for me, my way of like understanding how it has taught me and what the lesson that I needed from that was, it gave me a deeper sense of empathy to other people and their relationship with food, right? It's like it gave me a deeper sense of empathy to people who hadn't yet figured out their relationship with food, because I had also had that experience.
So why soup?
Soup is just so comforting. You know, I mean, like I think there's something really universal about being taken care of with a bowl of soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother used to make soup at least once a week.
That
was like a tradition. It's once a week. She's Caribbean, West Indian, Jamaican. And she'd make soup once a week. It could be pea soup. It'd be chicken soup. It could be cow foot soup. It was some kind of soup.
Yeah.
Every week, once a week. And I just thought this is how the rest of the world lived.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came here. I only made soup once a year, which was when I made a turkey when I was married. So I'd use the turkey bones and the turkey leftover and make a soup. And I just piled everything. And that's the good thing about soup. You don't really need to. You just need to have taste buds.
Yeah.
Right. To be able to taste it and oh, this tastes good to me. And then you can share it.
Yeah. But and patience.
Yeah. Patience, because you have to cook everything down, right? Slowly cooking everything down and stirring every now and then. But you don't even have to stir it.
You don't.
You don't really have to do anything to make soup, actually. I mean, you know, I don't. But you do, because you're going into the science of it all. But so soup. So what was some of the, when you said, I'm going to make soup.
Yeah.
What was the feedback?
From other people?
Yeah.
I think they were like, okay. I mean, soup is also sort of like what you feed people who are sick, right? It's not that sexy. I think people were like, oh, good for you. You know, I mean, I think that's the other experience.
Good on you, mate.
Yeah, like, cool. I don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, I think that that's a lot of the experience of starting something is that you're met with skepticism, like, all along the way. And I always had this bigger vision of like helping people heal through food and helping people kind of like just be more aware of themselves through food. And none of that comes through when you're like, I'm going to start a business and it's soup.
So I don't know.
I mean, like my mom was a big fan in the beginning.
How many soup Nazi jokes did you have to deal with?
Like I still all the time. Yeah. And I mean, you say that you're starting a food business and people also immediately assume that you're just going to like, you know, make a few pots of soup out of your kitchen at home. And I don't think people necessarily are going to you can't expect people to like get the vision right away.
Right. So now like, yeah, you just said make a few pots. How did you start?
I did that. I mean, it was literally, well, so after I got out of culinary school, I was like, whoa, I absolutely have to be in contact with food.
Right.
In whatever way possible. So I just did anything that I could
right.
to so be in contact. Well, no, I did a lot of things on the side
right.
Before I started Splendid Spoon. So I had like a catering business and I had a pop-up at Smorgasburg in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know Smorgasburg.
Yeah. And I did not just vegan soups, but I did like meat stews and I did pastries and I taught cooking lessons with my friend who was studying to become a registered dietitian at Columbia. Mm-hmm. And I tried to teach cooking lessons to my friends, and I don't know where am I going with this, but
I started with the big pot on the stove, you know.
Yeah, like that. I mean, it was just very like very much like paint by numbers in the right. beginning. It was like you start with a pot and right. then you move to a bigger pot right. and then when you outgrow that you move to an incubator kitchen right. and it was very like
so what's an incubator
painfully
kitchen?
Sort of like growing just
what's
pot by pot.
Incubator kitchen.
So when I started Splendid Spoon, at that point, I had figured out, like, I didn't want to be in, like, a restaurant kitchen anymore. Because mm-hmm. that was how I originally started. Was I convinced restaurant kitchens to open up in the early morning hours mm-hmm. so I could cook there. Mm-hmm. And then once I grew out of that, they have these kitchens that are open to small businesses. They're literally just like small manufacturing facilities mm-hmm. where you provide your own labor and you can do a little bit of a scale up process there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it was. That was the incubator kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were making big pots of soup.
It was big to me then. I mean, at that point I went from 2 gallons to I think like 10 gallons and then 25 gallons. And
how big is that pot? Is it like, how big is that pot? How big is like a 25-gallon pot?
It's
like a bucket of soup.
Yeah, I mean, 25-gallon, it was like a little hot tub. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Like a little hot, you can literally.
It was like you could have sat in it and taken a little bath in it, I guess. It's like a tub.
All right. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hello, and we're back, and I'm trying to put the number in so that people can call in to the show. So it is 877-480-4120. And you should call in and ask questions because she's got a lot of answers. So this little hot tub of soup.
Yes.
So what was your first big soup that you made?
The first big soup was asparagus. Uh-huh. So when I first started...
asparagus?
So I started Splendid Spoon 5 years ago. And my sort of like way of launching was with Fresh Direct. They were my first account.
Right.
And I made an asparagus soup for them. I was speaking on a panel and I did a tasting and two of the buyers were there. And then I just like kind of walked in and was like, I would like to sell soup to you and somehow convince them. And they really liked the idea of doing a special local soup made with local asparagus. Right. And that was like my jam or my soup, so to speak. So it was incredibly stressful. I had just had my first son. Uh-huh. And so I was like running. I had my mom helping me all the time. Right. So she would kind of like sit in the car while I ran into the kitchen in between like feedings.
Oh, Jesus.
It was intense. I mean, the day after Grover was born.
It's like amazing. I'm like, I'm hugging my wrist. Right? It's like amazing having, like being a woman, right? Like being a woman.
Yeah.
You know, you're making soup. You got to run in between and feeding those babies. I mean, it's kind of like hunt and gathering. It's kind of like being.
Well, that's why I like being an entrepreneur. I like feeling like I'm in survival mode.
Right.
And I've now learned that that is not how a lot of people function.
Right.
I like not knowing what's on the other side, and I like feeling like I have to use all of my internal resources to move on to the next level.
Right.
So like while I am very happy I'm done with that phase, it was very, there was a lot of like blood, sweat, and tears and milk spilled in the process. It was very formative for me because it was like I went from like carrying a baby to like having a baby, and the next day I was in the incubator kitchen like making sure that containers were ordered and things like that for my first order for Fresh Direct.
Right.
And then I was just moving.
Right.
It was just like there was no break. It was just
you were just doing it.
Yeah. And it was a very strange, unique experience.
Yeah, but so at the end of the day, I only know one other woman that gave birth to a baby and then was back at work the next day. And it's a friend of mine. She's from Japan. And she was like, and I said to her, what kind of savage are you? Right.
I know. Yeah.
I was working at Nomura Bank at the time. And I'm like, what kind of savage are you? You just had a baby yesterday, right? I don't even want to have a baby.
Yeah.
And she was like, Nareen, it's just a baby, you know? You just do it, you get it done, and you come back to work. And I was like, oh, my God.
That was how I felt. And you know, everyone has their own experience, but that was my very personal experience with becoming a mother was like, I am a fucking superhuman. I am, like, designed to do really intense, powerful things.
Yes.
And so for it was like, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Right. Right.
Like I just had to keep putting it out there.
Right. And me, I'm like, not doing a baby. It's not coming through here. You know, I'll watch you, baby. I'll take care of it. I'll love it up, but it's not coming through here. So that is so great. I'm like, I really got it though. Like you're like, so you're on the you're pushing this baby out, like, come on, baby, come on, we've got time.
Yeah, I mean,
You weren't in a hospital, clearly.
I was at the birth center. I mean, it was in a hospital, but it was in a birth center.
So you
in
were
New
like
York.
Knocked out the baby, strapped it on, and got down to business.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are amazing.
Yeah, we're amazing. I mean, human beings are amazing.
Women are amazing.
Women are amazing. Women are amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. So you got you're in between feedings. You're making asparagus soup.
Yes. Yeah. I still have like PTSD from this a little bit.
Soup TSD.
Yeah.
So you made the soup and you delivered it.
Yeah. Got it over.
I don't know. Like, how many gallons of soup? Like 24 gallons of soup, let's just say, right? How do you know
what
20
first order?
Batch?
I mean, yeah, it was like 50 gallons. I was doing like 50 gallon batches.
How do you taste 50 gallons of soup?
I mean, you scale it the same way that you do if you're taking time with it, then you can scale it basically the same way that you would
a regular
on
coffee.
Yeah.
So you just add, I guess you just add.
It's just math, right? Like would do, I did a recipe with like a pound of asparagus and like 3/4 of a quart of broth. And then I was just like, well, that yields 4 servings. So I need.
Times it by
400. Grams. So. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how did it go so you got the soup to Fresh Direct, right? And okay, so first of all, before I go any further, I want to know, how did you come up with the name Splendid Spoon?
Well, I just wanted to have the word spoon in it because the spoon is the only utensil that kind of like lifts and takes care of the food, right? Like forks and knives are sort of like these aggressive instruments that impale and slice, and the spoon is really
and
gentle.
It's always been around.
Yeah, it's been around. The spoon's been around.
Right.
And I like alliteration. I have, you know, like I also studied English when I was in college. I've always liked writing and I like words I think are fun and can be funny when they sort of like,
because I was, when I think of Splendid Spoon, I see a golden spoon.
Yeah, some people think like a dandy, like a English gent with a monocle or something.
No, I don't see that. I just see like a golden spoon.
Yeah,
that's how it occurs.
I mean, it sounds, I think there was also sort of like splendid felt uplifting and sort of like more than maybe the
rich.
I didn't want like the
it's
humble
like,
spoon. I
like
wanted something that was like
nourishing.
Yeah, that like lifted you up.
Yeah.
That was a little more aspirational.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you know that was it? Like, did you sit around with people?
You know, it's so interesting because like don't consider myself like one of those like branding geniuses. Mm-hmm. Like that's not not my thing. Like I love the process. I love the connecting with people. I love the product. Mm-hmm. And so all the trappings, like the name and the colors, like while I find that fascinating, it's not like the thing.
Right.
And so I was kind of like, that's like alliteration. That's cool.
That works.
I'm going to go with it.
Right.
and the brand should be strong enough to make the name mean something.
Right. And so I went through your website and you have things like the wizard, the marketing wizard goddess of.
Yeah. Operations goddess. That would be Renee.
Operations goddess. I love that. I love that because it's not traditional.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Yeah.
Right. It's absolutely yours because I realize that the way we're going in society, you can make up whatever you want.
It's
literally your business and you can name it whatever you want.
Right.
And I love that. The wizard.
Yeah.
Right. And the goddess of operations. Was it wizard of marketing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I looked through and I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool because it is your business and you get to say what.
Customer experience ninja.
Isaac. Exactly.
I'm talking to you.
So where do you want Splendid Spoon to go?
Well, I want Splendid Spoon to be a name that lots of people know. I mean, Access has always been really.
I honestly knew it before I met you.
Yeah.
I'd seen it around. And like, you know how you see stuff in your subconscious mind?
Yeah.
And then when I was like, oh, and that's when I put the dots together.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think healthy food is something that is very top of mind for Americans, especially like disease that is caused by illness
Diabetes.
Is the number one cause of death.
Yes.
And so we all know that eating better is really important for us, but we're also really pressured to be very productive. And so our lives are really busy. And so it's a universal problem that we know we need to eat well and we feel constrained by time. And so we feel like we're not doing it. And so I really want to make healthy food, whether it's through my product itself or through helping people understand how to cook, incorporate more vegetables into their diet. Like that is what I want Splendid Spoon to do for a broader community of people.
Right, to have it more for me, it's accessibility.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm experiencing, I don't like to say I have it, the BDs, right? Diabetes. And so for me, I realized, oh snap, I wasn't eating enough vegetables, hardly any vegetables. I'm eating crap, actually.
Right.
And so I took on the vegetables and literally over the last 5 months, I've been able to reduce my insulin levels down to 6.9, which they're probably lower than that now. But it was really all because food is medicine, right? Hippocrates, isn't that? Right? So food is medicine, but we're not taking the medicine. We're like having the fast food, the convenient food. I realized that convenient food for me was not healthy.
Right.
And the kinds of convenient food is like stuff. I don't do supermarket anymore. I usually do a small grocery store or farmer's market. So you creating soups, do you have sugar in your soups?
No.
Yay.
No.
Yay. Do you know how hard it is to find? Well, you do.
Yeah.
Right. How difficult it is to find good food with no sugar?
Yeah.
I mean, impossible.
That's the whole thing that was so astounding to me when I was pregnant and trying to take care of myself. Because I, having gone to culinary school and just like, you know, culture, my dad's Filipino, like pork is one of the four food groups. And I love all of that. Like I love meat and I love pastries and red wine and lattes and all that stuff. And, you know, we live in a culture where that's, especially in New York, where it's all very readily accessible. And human beings are not good with temptation being around them all the time, right? And we're also not great with discipline and things that, you know, we don't think are fun.
Unless we have the threat of death.
Yeah.
I have the threat of death.
Yeah. So like creating something that was convenient, but was actually wholesome ended up being a challenge. And so that's kind of when I knew, like, this could be very helpful to people.
Yeah, it is extremely helpful because, like, you know, I met you at the coffee shop and I was like, I hadn't eaten and I was thinking, oh my God, like I went in and I was like, there's nothing here. Everything was dough.
Yeah.
Or sugar.
Yeah.
Or dough and sugar.
Yeah.
You know, and dough with a bit of lettuce and something in it, but mostly dough. And that for me was the experience when I took on eating healthy, running around the city, there was never a place where I could grab something that didn't have sugar in it. And for me, even if it's got 1 gram of sugar, I'm not having it.
Yeah.
I'm not having it. Because we need sugar-free food.
Yeah.
Real sugar-free food, not sugar alcohol, not all the sugars, the pretend stuff, the stuff that we can't distinguish that is sugar in our food. I need good food that doesn't have sugar.
We all do.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So this is Noreen Sumter, and we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Nicole Centeno.
Centeno.
I'm going to get one day.
It's fine.
It's terrible. I'm really bad. This is my thing where I always mess up people's names. It's terrible. Isn't it terrible?
We've all got a thing, Noreen.
I know. That's my thing. Messing up people's names.
Could be a lot worse.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. Yes. So tell us how do you get your soup to the people?
So we are direct to consumer, which means you go to our website, splendidspoon.com, and then you can pick kind of like the ordering that makes sense for you, whether it's week by week or if you want to do kind of a full month like reset sort of thing. And then we deliver it right to your home with a FedEx box.
So it's not like, so you don't, do you want to get your soups into like the big box stores?
We do still work with Fresh Direct because they've always been such a great partner for us. So if you're in New York, you can order on Fresh Direct. But I really love the direct communication and relationship with our customer, and it also allows us to create a lot of variety. So we have over 40 different flavors. We offer smoothies now, so there are plant-based smoothies, plant-based bowls. Everything we do is vegan. Yep. So that's what I love about this distribution model.
Plant-based smoothies. Tell me about this.
It's just smoothies, right? I mean, like everything we make is plant-based or vegan,
right?
Same thing.
But it's not like a smoothie that I would get in a smoothie shop. Like
it's a smoothie that's in a bottle. So it's ready to drink. It's a fresh smoothie. And, you know, same philosophy as every meal that we produce. So whole ingredients, things that you understand, really simple, good balance of macronutrients with, you know, good balance of protein and fat and complex carbs.
Fat. Love fat. Yes. So do you get your products from the farm?
So we now ship across the U.S.
Right.
And so we use non-GMO, lots of organic ingredients sourced almost entirely in the U.S. I do not do like exclusively local sourcing anymore because of the volume requirements and some of the organic requirements.
So what are you up to in gallons now?
Oh,
on a day-to-day basis, do you make soup every day?
Yeah, they're... So we have co-manufacturers who are taking our recipes and partnering with us, and they are making our recipes for us. And the interesting thing is that these are people who I've known really since the incubator days.
Right.
So some of them have grown into bigger businesses, and I've known them since they started out, and they're entrepreneurs also. And that's been really cool that I've been able to, you know, develop relationships with people, and there's a trust there that's really
so
nice.
Talk to me about relationships. What are relationships for you? What do they actually mean? Because a lot of people think that they wake up one morning and you say, I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. With that voice.
Probably. Slight little voice in the head. I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I don't need to mimic that, but it kind of sort of is like people wake up and they go like, I want to be an entrepreneur.
Well, I think it's like kind of cool now, right?
To
be an entrepreneur. I don't, you know, like I'm just someone who's so sort of like stubbornly focused on things. I don't, it does. And I'm also, I can be incredibly impulsive. So that's how I got into it. I was like, I don't like how this, I need a better solution for eating well so that I don't eat croissants for every meal, especially when I'm pregnant. And I need to create something that will be as easy as that, but really good for me. And I'm not going to stop until I have it.
Right.
So that was like my path.
So that would be called bullheaded.
Yeah, that would be called bullheaded. Exactly. So that would be that was my path. Stubborn. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's something to listening to yourself, though, about if that is the way that you are, then you're five steps ahead of a lot of other people because there is that energy to keep pushing forward creates resilience, which is, I think, one of the key factors in being successful is that, like, you just, it's very hard to keep me pinned down. Like, if I get knocked down, I'm up really quickly. Yeah. It's really like,
do you remember those Weebler Wobblers?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
No. So last week I had Dale Restigini. He is a video music producer and he produces all the videos for people all over the, you know, the hip hop, rock and roll, you know, heavy metal world. And well, his word was, his little word that he said was consistency.
Mm.
And so what would you say about consistency?
Interesting. I would disagree with that only because my process has required me to be very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is something to having focus and having a vision that's clear. But a lot of my ability to keep moving forward has been that I'm also really flexible. So I have my eye on this thing that's very, very far off in the distance, but I know, and I'm trying to go straight, but like there are all sorts of forces that push you in these other directions. And so for me, I understand that sort of consistency philosophy, but that's not how I frame my experience. I think flexibility is a bigger word for me because you can't control those outside forces. Mm-hmm. And if my mantra is be flexible, be resilient, then I'm able to stay in my flow and I'm able to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
I think that's was what he was saying too, being consistent in going for what you say you
want.
Like
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
totally
also the flexibility is important because you've got to be able to, like, you know, knock down, bounce back. Right?
Yeah.
You've got to be able to change focus because it's not linear. Life is not linear.
It's not linear.
Right. So you're going in. There's different ways. I always say there's different ways for me to get to Brooklyn. There's so many different ways for me to get from here to Brooklyn. Right.
But
if I'm stuck in one way, then I could be sitting at the subway station all night, all day.
Exactly. And you learn so much more when, for me at least, that's how I learn best.
Right.
Is when I'm a little more like malleable. You know, it also makes you more open to receiving help and wisdom from other people when you're flexible.
Right.
You never know who you're going to bump into on this new route home, right?
Yep.
That's not your usual
subway route. I always think of trees, right?
Mm.
So the in a storm, the trees that survive are the ones that are more flexible. They can bend with the wind as opposed to the one that's really rigid. You walk through the park and say, oh, I guess you've been knocked down. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Awesome. So tell me about like the difficulties, some of the, you know, pitfalls. We talked about that when we first met. Like, like I'm saying, people, they get up and they think they want to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
But they don't realize also inside of the celebrations, there are a lot of tears.
Yes. Well, I think the biggest for me, and we touched on it early with that sort of like the foundation of Splendid Spoon being like me and my own internal resources to get me through each day. I didn't know when I started how, I don't know if lonely is the right word, but how sort of solitary those first few days would feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really hard. Like you have to really dig deep for confidence and conviction in what you're doing when pretty much nobody else sees
what
vision, it is that you see. That is, it's really, really hard.
Right.
And I credit like my parents especially for giving me that because they've always instilled in me a belief that like you listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Trust.
Trust. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Big.
That's a big
Huge.
One. Yeah. As a coach, that's what a lot of people come to learn to trust themselves because that's because if I can't trust myself, I can't trust you.
Correct.
Yeah. So that is one of the things that people need inside of
it. And as an entrepreneur, you will have to attract people around you to build a team to be successful. Like very, very rare that one person on their own accomplishes great things.
Right.
And it's exactly as you say, like you have to have that like really strong foundation inside of you, very grounded.
And if you don't, what do you do? You have to build it.
You have to build it.
Yeah.
I had to build it. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm crying every day.
And so here's, you were what? Crying. So there's the other thing. So there's the other thing. It's like, you have to be strong enough to say, I don't know.
Yes.
Right?
Totally.
And like, I think that faking the funk does not work.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you have to be able to get up, keep moving. And a lot of my memories of those early days were sort of like a communion with the outdoors that I would have, where I would literally just look up at the trees in the sky and be like, I am so down. I am so down today, but like there is still a tree in front of me. There's still a sky above me. Like the sky has not fallen in.
Right.
So I can keep going. Yeah. So it's like, so that means I keep going.
Right.
and I'm going to feel really crummy today and I'm going to keep going anyway.
Yeah, because you can't take on your personal woes.
No.
You can't take on your personal circumstances because you're not them and they come and go.
That's right.
And do you find, did you find that once you stepped into that, like you might have woke up going, oh, but once you stepped into that, what you knew to do, it like opened up something else.
Yeah, because ultimately, like, there's always a gift. There's a gift every single day.
Right.
And I found them.
Right.
I found them in like just small things to laugh about with my colleagues at the incubator kitchen. Right. I have so many like vivid, detailed memories of that time.
Right.
And the hilarious things that would happen.
Right.
Because of being present.
Awesome. This is it. Do you hear this, people? Do you, who would like to call in? Somebody call in 877-480-4120 and ask a question. Because look, this is an opportunity for individuals that are out there who are entrepreneurs. They get an opportunity now to speak to somebody that started a business literally from nothing.
Yeah.
You started it from nothing. It was a dream, an idea. Mm-hmm. You went to school part-time, like in the evenings.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm sure you were tired after work. But
very.
You went to class, right?
Yeah.
And what was that like, going to class knowing I'm going to learn something? It was...
Yeah, I mean, it was... It's all the... To me, it's like it's all the same energy, right? Like the things that are really hard, if you stick with them... They open up and become something else for you. And it was just that. It was like those moments after being at my cube all day where I had to like put on the little chef's jacket and, you know, take apart chickens and, you know, make stews and all of that and do something totally different. It was really hard.
Right.
But it gave me this gift of knowing what it is that I want to do with my life.
Right.
Like pretty big.
So when you went to, I mean, that's awesome. But So when you went to, when you were in college, is this something that you wanted to do or like, what did you want to do?
I didn't know. I just didn't know. I mean, I did have, I think, the confidence to keep trying.
Right.
Like my mom always said that every job that you have is an opportunity to know what you don't want to do too.
Right.
And that's pretty powerful.
So was it like
important.
Building on
Yeah, it was like, oh, I don't really want to do that.
Right.
Gonna try something a little different. I kind of liked this part of it, so I'll hold on to that, but I'm going to modify a little bit. And I think that sense of like optimizing has now I see that it works. I see that like if you keep going, you're going to keep learning. You're going to get closer and closer. It's going to hone. It's going to polish. It's going to shift. It's going to be like even tighter to what it is that you want to be doing every day.
Cool. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So this is Noreen, and we are back. It's on Beyond. I've forgotten the name of my own show. Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Nicole Centeno. Bloody Nora. Sorry, Centeno.
Centeno. It's totally fine.
Oh, Jesus. I cut my own tongue out. So what is your challenge? What are your challenges right now in your business?
So we are going through a lot of new development on the site. Mm-hmm. We're improving the flow and improving also food product. Mm-hmm. And I think now that we're bigger, you know, we have to be more methodical right. about launching things and be really thoughtful and include more people and include more data. And it's challenging for me to wait mm-hmm. to get feedback.
There's so much. I'm just thinking there's so much, and I'm sure there's so much red tape and so much this you must do. And
yeah, I mean,
so
it's
much
not like red tape. It's just like, yeah, carefulness.
Being
methodical, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that's the next phase of growth for me, though, right? Is like to move out of that. The things that got me to maybe like last year, I would say, were things like being very bullheaded and being very impulsive and being like, very a lot of things happened because I wanted them to happen. Right. And in order for me to move into this next phase, it's really acknowledging that there's a very important team dynamic. So mm-hmm. lots of other people and lots of other relationships mm-hmm. that need to be nourished mm-hmm. and grown.
You have to play nice.
Yeah. And a lot more method and strategy that takes time.
Right.
To see the signals and to develop them into something actionable.
So it's not as immediate as it once was.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so that's the challenge for me. And that's, I have to accept that. Like, that's how we will grow is like by me admitting that I don't have those skills yet. I'm having to learn them and work with other people to teach it to me.
Wow. Yeah. That's exciting though.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I'm not doing this so that I'm doing the same thing every day, right? No. It's like I need to feel that I'm pushing into some other space.
Right. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about, like, you know, thinking of your children, right? Because they're mm-hmm. an important part of this as well. How is this having this business nourishing or, you know, supporting your children? How do you add that into the mix?
Yeah. I mean, it's both really challenging to have a business and two small kids. And there is a weird efficiency in some ways because being a parent, I think, helps me to be a better leader of my team. Mm-hmm. And then the vice versa is true. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the whole like the value system of a startup is really makes a lot of sense for young kids. Like mm-hmm. you have to be able to roll with the punches. You have to be really resilient. You have to be really creative. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to kind of like learn from really difficult experiences. Mm-hmm. And my kids teach me that too.
So what's the question that you'd like me to ask? I usually ask this question. Do you have any questions that you would like me to ask you?
Yeah. I think the one that I was thinking of before was, what makes you feel alive?
Okay.
Because I think about that a lot.
Okay.
Especially when I'm challenged.
Let me ask you that question. So what is it that makes you feel alive, especially when you're challenged?
It's that feeling of discomfort uh-huh. and being uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. And how's that?
I kind of hate to
up?
Say it because it's like, oh, I don't want that to be the thing.
Right.
Because it's discomfort is to me the signal that I'm alive,
right.
that I'm learning. Because right. it's like that feeling of discomfort requires you to balance on a fine edge.
Right.
And that's where you develop your strength. And that's where you like learn, you're the most alert mm-hmm. when you're uncomfortable.
And do you have language for that when you're uncomfortable? How does it show up?
I mean, it's how I feel a lot of times as a parent and as an entrepreneur. I feel uncomfortable. Right. You know, it's like uncomfortable to...
In the not knowing?
Yeah, the not knowing. Or like, for example, with my kids, they're learning... My son is learning to read. Mm-hmm. And you have to really hold back to not just read for them.
Right.
You have to hold back to not like grab their hand and be like, make the G this way, you know? And in that process,
hurry up, you dummy.
You know, I mean, like in that process, it's like you just change.
Right. You have to
change,
patient.
You evolve. Right. Yeah. You have to be patient. I mean, it's probably different things for different parents, right, different types of people. Right. For me, it's like I'm an impatient, sort of aggressive, like assertive, direct person. So it's like I think that's what kids and businesses do. Mm-hmm. They're like the clearest mirror of the shit you have to work on.
Yeah. Because that's what they say. If you want to see yourself, start a business.
Start a business. Yeah. Spend time with little kids, right. You know, like that. They will tell you. They just will tell. And it is. It's uncomfortable to be like, oh my God, I'm so bossy, or like, right. I'm so controlling.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want to be that way.
Mommy, like, I can't do the G the way you want me to do it yet.
You know? Yeah. Like it, and you can accept.
Right.
And be humbled by those challenges, right. And that discomfort.
And when they call you out on your shit.
Yeah. And I think that's a really beautiful experience to have, to be humbled.
Right.
To be like, you know what? I'm going to like relinquish at this point.
Right. What's another question?
Another question. Last meal.
Oh, what was your last meal? Was it soup?
Well, I was actually thinking, so this is, I like
you
that it went, I like that
day.
It went this way. I do.
Okay.
I would say 99.9% of the time I have soup at least once a day. I really do love soup. Mm-hmm. I had a butternut soup with like curry in it. A butternut soup with curry in it today.
Cool.
So I was thinking like last meal, like before I die, like what would it be? Because I was going to come up with something really interesting there. But you asked what was the last meal I had, which I find even better because I was at this party and I had complete, I mean, it was really tasty food, but it was very much void of nutrition. And I find that that's something people assume that I'm like really like religious about my food and I'm a vegan and like that's all great, but that is not who I am. Right. Like I created this business because if left to my own devices, like I'd be eating chocolate and drinking tequila and like
chocolate.
You know, having nachos or like cheese fries. Like I love all of that stuff. And you know, I started the business so that there was at least one thing that I was doing every day that was like truly good for me, because I'm so packed, my schedule. So I went right to my friend's, her business just turned 4 today. And so I went to her like lovely business birthday party and did not have proper dinner.
Right.
I had dates filled with Marcona almonds and covered with like bacon. They were so good. And then I stuffed a big cupcake in my bag and ate that on the cab ride here. So like...
See,
you know,
if I had a big cupcake,
I do the best I can.
Be like, fucking mom.
Well, I only had. Well, this is what you do realize how sensitive your body is to refined sugar when you don't have it that often. Mm-hmm. And
it tastes like pow.
I still have half of it in my bag because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be
sick.
And yeah, I kind of am going to be sick. It was still really tasty.
I know.
I'm not going to be like, I'm never eating it again.
You know when you have a baby and it's never tasted sugar and you give it sugar and they just like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
well, we're fine. I mean, like it is a
poison
drug.
Yeah.
Right. Like we're not really designed to be having refined sugar like that all the time.
Right.
You know, sugar in its natural, you know, like refined sugar in its natural form is. It's locked in trees as maple syrup. It's behind thorny cacti, you know.
It's in cane.
Yeah, exactly. It's in canes. It's protected by stinging bees.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not, humans are not.
Not supposed to be readily
designed
available.
To be enjoying this like all the time. Yeah. But. Hey, that's the world we live in.
That's right. And you get to choose.
You get to choose.
You know, Sugarfina.
You get to
choose. Sugarfina. Gummy bears with liquor. Sugarfina. is what I saw today. I can't have it.
I know.
Anyway, it's almost the end of the show. We've got two more minutes. Is there anything else that you'd like to say? To give people the website where they can pick up your stuff?
SplendidSpoon.com. We deliver all over the U.S. We have customers in every state in the continental U.S. I'm super proud of that. And then follow us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It is at SplendidSpoonNY. I never changed the handle. Someone else has just Splendid Spoon, and we were like, you know, let her have it.
Yeah.
It's cool. We started in New York.
Awesome. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show.
So welcome.
Such a pleasure.
Always fun to chat with you.
I met with you and I just like fell in love, and I just love your story, and I just love when women just go for it, you know, and don't let anything get in the way. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're so welcome.
I hope you had fun.
I did. Of course.
Oh, thank you.
How can I not have fun with you, Anne-Marie?
So guys, thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you this time next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Just go and live life your way. All right. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.